Go ahead and grab your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. It's hard to believe this, but we've made it. Here we are. We have reached the end of our series in the book of Proverbs. Consequently, we have also reached the end of summer. Now, by the end of summer in Texas, what that does not mean is that sweater weather is around the corner. No, because in Texas, we don't go from summer to fall. No, instead, we go from summer to still summer. And then somewhere way down the road, there's Christmas, where we're just as likely to still be sweating. Because that's how it is. You know that summer is winding now, not because the temperatures are falling. No. You know it is because school is beginning to start back up. Across the city of San Antonio, you can hear the different reactions. Little kids bouncing with excitement over new backpacks and lunch boxes. Teenagers mourning the loss of sleeping till noon, and teachers are ready for their first day too, but mostly because they're ready to be done with professional development meetings. And all God's people said, amen. You see, as we close our series this morning, Common Sense for a Senseless World, I want us to take a moment and remember the lessons God has given us in this book so far. We began with the first week talking about putting God first. Because Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I almost titled that sermon, Don't Be the Dummy. But better heads prevailed. We talked about the power of our words, which probably is fitting following Don't Be the Dummy. We talk about the power of our words, how words can either build us up or words can tear us down. We looked at the value of hard work, of being diligent, even when no one's watching. We considered the danger of pride, forgetting our dependence upon God. We studied financial wisdom. That was everyone's favorite sermon. Honoring God with what we've been given, investing in His work, and living generously. We discussed integrity. Doing the right thing, even when it might cost us something. And then in last week, we looked at Proverbs 31, and we considered what a God-honoring marriage looks like. And at the beginning of the series, what I encouraged you to do was to read a chapter of Proverbs each day, to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds with that date on the calendar. So, for instance, today is August 10th, which means you would have read Proverbs 10. Look at you are all over this. And that is a habit that you could keep for life. That is a habit that you could continue to do every day for the rest of your life. Think about how little stress that is. Well, what am I going to read today? You look at the calendar. I'll go to Proverbs 10. What happens if you miss a day? Oh, no, I missed 2 days. Oh, no, I've got to. You don't even have to catch up. You just jump right in because it's not like Proverbs is a narrative where you're going to miss the part of the story that comes before it. No, you just read that day's proverb. You pick it back up. It's so simple. And yet what happens is over time, God's wisdom will begin to take root in your heart. I have spoken with more people every week who have adopted this practice. Some who have adopted it over the last 2 months. Some who have been doing this for years. Some who have been doing this for decades. And every single one of them will tell you the benefits of instilling God's word in their heart and God's wisdom in their lives. And this morning, as we wrap up, we're going to look at one of the most familiar And yet, one of the most deceptively difficult commands in all of Proverbs, and maybe in all of Scripture. So if you're there, if you're at Proverbs 3, would you stand with me? We're going to read two verses together, just two verses. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him, and He will make your paths straight. God, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, give us faith to walk in according to your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Trust in the Lord. So simple. But not easy. So let's break this down. If you're taking notes, I'm going to ask you to write this down. If you're not taking notes, start taking notes. Here we go. Number one. Trust in the Lord, not your skill set. Trust in the Lord, not your skill set. Our culture prizes competence. We value talent. We respect the hustle. We like people who get things done and have some sense of competency with whatever task they're at. This week, this Wednesday, our youth went to Top Golf together. And here's what we learned at Top Golf on Wednesday. Some people can send a golf ball soaring into the stratosphere. And some people barely dribble it past the tee. It's okay. And you actually can predict what's about to happen in the way that the person creeps up to the tee, right? Some people grip the club like it's a rattlesnake, right? Every movement, every hesitation, every action that they took screamed, I don't like this and I don't belong here, right? That's okay, I'm not making fun of you. And then there were others who walked up to the tee box with that swagger. Like, I know what I'm doing. I can do this. I've got this. That was Becky Diaz. She was all over it. She was all over it. She won several matches. It was not fair. And most of the time when somebody swaggered up to the tee box, that it was because they were very capable. And they knew they were very capable. And sometimes when they swaggered up to the tee box, they did that not because they were very capable. They did that because they were very deluded. It just kind of is. They were very, very mistaken in what they could do. The reality is most of us have an area in life where we are capable. Right? We're capable. Some of you are skilled organizers. Some of you are natural encouragers. Some of you are wise planners. Some of you have these brilliant business minds with good business sense. You've done what you've done long enough and often enough that you can walk in confidence thinking to yourself, I've got this. Watch me work. But the danger comes when that confidence crosses over and becomes self-reliant. That's the difference. There's no problem with confidence. There's a problem with self-reliance. When we walk and cross over into self-reliance and we begin to think that we are the source of our own successes. Take, for example, preaching. Take, for example, preaching. I train young men to preach. Not because I'm the greatest preacher alive. Far from it. But I teach and I train young men how to preach because I've studied and I know the mechanics of preaching. I know how to structure a sermon. I know how to shape an illustration. I know how to land the conclusion. And there is a degree of competency there. But listen, if I am relying on my skill, if I am relying on my sermon structure, if I am relying on my cleverness, listen, whatever it is that I teach, it might make it all the way to the back door, but let me assure you, it's not entering into anybody's heart. Life change. Genuine life change takes place when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and drives it into the hearts of the people of God. So, anytime a marriage is healed, anytime a relationship is restored, anytime someone forgives someone else after years of bitterness, anytime a heart turns back to the Lord, understand what I know very clearly, that's not me. It's not my doing. That is the Spirit of God at work. Every good thing is completely His. If I were to stand here and try to take credit for that, you would think I had lost my mind. If I walked around with a swagger about how good I am and what I've done and look at all the changes I've made, I wouldn't be very long. But that's exactly how all of us are when we trust in our own skill set rather than the Spirit of God. Let me give you a quick way to check. Are you trusting in God or are you trusting in your own skill set? Here it is. Look at your prayer life. Think about your prayer life. Do you rush into a task without praying? Chances are, if you do, you're leaning on yourself and not on Him. You've acquired skills. Don't hear me as saying you haven't. You have competencies and capabilities. Don't hear me as saying that you haven't. But what I'm saying is you shouldn't lean on them. You shouldn't rely on them. You shouldn't trust in them. You should trust in the Lord. Use your skills. They have been given to you by the Lord. Just don't rest on them. Rest in God. Trust in the Lord. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. So that's number one. Trust in the Lord, not your skill set. Here comes number two. Here we are. Number two, trust in the Lord. Not your wisdom. trust in the Lord and not your wisdom. Your experience, your knowledge, your reasoning are valuable, but they all have limits and limitations. Listen, I am a researcher by nature. It is my nature. If something catches my interest, that is now my personality type. I dig into it until I know more about that thing than I probably should. Which is how I ended up with my favorite English Premier League football, or for Americans, soccer team. You see, a couple friends of mine that I was working with, this was back in 2016, I think, a couple friends of mine, one was a diehard Chelsea fan. Looking. There he is. Yeah, I see Eugene back there. One was a diehard Chelsea fan. One was a Manchester United fan. Pray for them. They told me that I should take a quiz and see which team in the English Premier League I should support. Okay, I'm game. And the quiz came up and said, you should cheer for the Arsenal. Now, here's how that worked. They were horrified that that was the answer. How could he cheer for the Arsenal? No, they said, you don't want to do that. But their having been horrified by that drove me further. It lit a fire beneath me, and I went, game on. It made me curious. And so after our meal, I went back to my hotel room. I was on a business trip. And what would I do on a business trip? I began researching and reading and studying and learning the history of the Arsenal. They had never, ever been relegated from the Premier League, to which I had to go look up. What does that mean? What is relegation? We don't have that in American sports. That's not a thing. That turned into learning the whole league system. It turned into learning about the different rivalries and the different trophies. And by the time we met for dinner, I had absorbed decades of Arsenal history, and I proudly went to dinner saying, North London is red. It was in St. Louis. I don't know why that was such a big deal, but that was what it was. But here's why I tell that story. Not because any of you understand any of that. No, it's because I like knowing things. My favorite thing in the world is to know more about something than you do. It makes me feel awesome. It's great. I like knowing things. It's kind of cool. It's not in my notes. I remember when I was a kid, I would come home from school, and at 4 o'clock every afternoon after I got home from school, Jeopardy was on the TV. Anybody remember Jeopardy? Okay. Jeopardy was on the TV, and I would sit down, and my mother would invite me, and she's probably going to watch this, and I'm telling on you. And so my mother would make me, she would sit down and we would watch Jeopardy together. And she blew me away because she knew so many of the answers. And I was amazed that she knew so many of the answers, or the questions. If you know Jeopardy, the answers are in the question form. She knew all of them. And she destroyed me day after day after day after day. And as a kid, like when it first started, I thought, well, she's just that much smarter than me. She's had more experience than me. That must be what it is. And then I got sick one day, and I stayed home from school. And do you know what I found out? They aired that episode at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then re-aired it at 4 o'clock in the evening. Where I get this from. I like knowing more, and I'll cheat to do it. I like knowing things. But can I be honest with you? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to like knowing things. It's not a bad thing to gather information. It's a bad thing only when I begin to rely on that and not on the hand of God. Because there are moments, and if you haven't experienced it yet, listen, you will. There are moments when God will call you to do what does not make any logical sense at all. He will call you to step out in faith. And you will pray the same prayer that I've prayed time and time again, which really goes, "Really, Lord?" Right? Anybody else prayed that prayer before? God, are you sure this is what you are calling me to do? This doesn't make any sense. Are you sure I'm not getting somebody else's mail? There's something doesn't seem right here. Me? You want me to do? That doesn't make any sense. And I can't help but think of that story of Peter in Luke 5. You remember Peter? Peter is a professional fisherman. He earns his living by being a fisherman. He comes from a fisherman's family who were fishermen. Like, he was a pro at this. He smelled like fish. He had actually been out fishing all night long and come back empty-handed. He had caught nothing. And after a long night's work, you know what he's doing? He's in church, like a good godly young Jewish man. He is listening to this rabbi preach on the shore. And so he is there mending his nets. He's kind of busying his hands during the sermon. And he's ready, he's listening, but when he's done, he's ready to go home. And Jesus, this son of a carpenter who smells like sawdust, not like fish, who's at best a weekend warrior fisherman. He's an amateur fisherman compared to Peter. Jesus tells him to take his boat, to go out into the deep water, and to let down his nets. This is the opposite of everything that Peter knows you're supposed to do to catch the fish. Fish at night. You don't fish during the day. You fish in the shallows, not in the deep. Peter is tired. Peter has a carpenter preacher telling him how to fish. Peter's a fisherman. And he explains the situation. Like, "Master, listen. I've got news for you. They're not biting today, right? We've tried. We did it the right way. But, because you said so." And I have to believe that there's a degree to which we read this like it's faith, right? "But because you say so, I will do it." Listen, I know my personality. Sometimes I have to be careful about reading my personality into the text. But I know my personality. If I know what I'm doing, and I'm this stud fisherman, and I don't have any reason to believe that he's Jesus, the Son of God, just yet, but I'm going to prove you wrong. Right? You're petty too. Don't stand there in judgment of me. Don't do that. And so he says, "Listen, because you said it, all right, at your word, I'll let down the nets." And what happens? Do you remember the story? It was a miraculous catch. It was so full that the nets began to break. What did that prove? It proved that the expert fisherman was, are you ready for this? He was right about how you're supposed to do it, but he was wrong about this particular situation. Jesus was right. Again, Jesus is always right. God sees the whole picture. You see, your wisdom is limited. His wisdom is perfect. Your perspective is limited. His perspective is perfect. His perspective is infinite. It is without limits. Ours is not. So when God calls us to do something, our role is to lean in. Our role is to listen, and our role is to obey and follow, even when it doesn't make sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord, not in your skill set. Number two, trust in the Lord, not in your wisdom. Number three, here we go. You ready? Trust in the Lord and keep trusting. Trust in the Lord and keep trusting. I need to be very clear here. Trusting in the Lord is not a one-time decision. It is a daily posture. We talk about trusting in the Lord for salvation. We talk about trusting in the Lord for forgiveness. And then here's what happens. Inevitably, I end up counseling someone, and they will say, I've trusted in the Lord for forgiveness, and I've trusted in the Lord for salvation. But they are now beginning to doubt what? Their faith. They begin to doubt their faith. But there's a problem here, because the Bible at no point tells you to trust in your faith. You're not called to trust in your faith. You're called to trust in the Lord, to trust in Jesus. Which means that when my faith inevitably fails, when my faith inevitably is challenged, when I come to the point where trusting is hard, here's what the beauty of that is. Jesus never fails. I may, he never does. He never comes up short. You see, life will give you moments. Listen, life will give you moments when trust is easy. Those are the good days. Right? Those are the good days. And then life will give you days where trust feels impossible, where you struggle to believe. We're given a picture of a man in the Gospels whose prayer is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Anybody ever prayed something similar? I promise you I have. Lord, I believe. I trust you. I'm following you. I hear you. I know you. But I need you to help me, because this is rough. Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you're all loving, and I believe that you're all powerful, and I believe that you're all kind. But God, this sucks, and this is hard, and I don't know why you're doing this. You ever prayed a prayer like that? I have this week. And the prayer that I'm learning to pray in the midst of that is, God, I know you're doing something here. But I can't see it. I trust you. But couldn't you just give me a peek? Give me a glimpse of what you're doing. Let me see behind the curtain for just a split second. I believe, help my unbelief. The book of Proverbs calls us to trust him, to know him in the CSB. Other translations, translation that I grew up memorizing, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, right? In all your ways. Which means every path, every decision, every season, to trust him. Find your confidence in him, to find your hope in him, to find your reason in him. And when we keep trusting, as we keep trusting, God promises what? That he will make your paths straight. What does that mean? I grew up hearing that this meant he'll make your paths easy and smooth. Can I be honest with you about that? Has not been my experience. So I'm not going to stand up here and promise you that if you'll just trust in God, he will make your life easy and smooth. No. He'll make them straight. They won't always be comfortable. But as you trust in God, they will always be clear. You will always have the Spirit of God as your guide on that path. You will always have his presence. And you will always be being led for his purposes. But not smooth. Not easy. You see the difference? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. This is where Proverbs leads us. Not just with clever sayings, not just with good advice, but with a call to build our lives upon the wisdom of God. We've seen it over and over in these last 2 months. Wisdom begins with putting God first. Wisdom shapes our words, our work, our money, our relationships. It shapes our integrity. And we now see what? That it calls us to trust him with everything. If you want common sense that works in this senseless world, understand, it is not about being the smartest person in the room. It's about being the most surrendered person in the room. And so as we close the series, here's my challenge to you, friends. Keep seeking wisdom every day. Keep trusting in the Lord more than you trust in your own skills. Keep trusting him more than your own understanding. And when life tests us, and life tests the trust that we have in God. Keep trusting in the Lord. Because the God who has never failed his people is not going to start with you. I like that. I would write that down. The God who has never, ever failed his people is not going to start in your life with you. So let's make this personal, okay? Let's bring this home. Here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to bow our heads in prayer. Terry, if your team can go ahead and come up. In a moment, we're going to bow our heads in prayer. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to identify something in your life. One decision. One relationship. One burden. Identify that one thing where you've been leaning on your own understanding, or you've been leaning on your own strength instead of Him. Okay? Identify that. Maybe it's something that you've been trying to control, and what has happened is every time you try and control it, and every time you try and manage it, and every time you try to manipulate it, it gets worse, it gets harder, it gets more out of control. Listen, maybe it's something that you've tried to control. Maybe it's something you've been putting off, a conversation that you've been unready and unwilling and unable to face. Maybe it's something that you've prayed about before, but God didn't respond in a timely manner on your calendar, according to your clock. And so what you've done is you laid it down before the Lord, and then He didn't take it up fast enough, so you snatched it back up, and you're carrying that burden still. Identify that area of your life, whatever that may be. Picture it in your mind, even right now. And as we bow our heads, I'm going to ask you to name it. I'm going to ask you to do something radical. I want you to speak it out loud. But David, somebody might hear. Not if they're doing the same thing. Here's the beauty of it. If we all do it, none of us are listening to any of us. I want you to identify that. Where in your life, what in your life do you need to give over to the Lord? We're going to pray here in a moment. And as we do, I'm going to ask you to hand it over to Him. And I'm going to ask you to pray a simple prayer. Lord, I trust You with this. Everybody understand the assignment? Don't be the person who doesn't do this. We'll all judge you. We're going to pray. And then here's the beauty of this. Some of you, praying at your seat is not going to be enough. You need to come to the altar. No one is going to judge you for that. No one is going to look down on you for that. Some of us are carrying burdens that we cannot carry standing, that we need to get on our knees. Can we be free to do that? If we are a church family surrendered and sent, can we love one another enough that when a brother or a sister in Christ comes to that point of crisis, when a brother or sister comes to that point of surrender, when a brother or sister comes to that point of weariness, can we not be those who judge them, but those who lift them up more in prayer? Let's bow our heads. Father, you are good. You are faithful. You have proven yourself over and over and over again to us. You have never failed your children. You have never fallen short for your people. And God, however heavy the burden may be, however difficult the season is, we know that you will not start failing your people now. And so we come before you in prayer, boldly, because you've called us to come, bringing our burdens, because you've called us to bring them before you, to lay them down at your feet, and to surrender them to you. And so, Father, this morning we pray together. God, I trust you. God, I trust you with this. Even in a spirit of prayer, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, say it out loud. God, I trust you with this. Father, strengthen our resolve to trust you and to continue trusting you, because you're good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you do this? Would you stand with us? We're going to continue to sing. And some of you need to respond to God's word this morning with more than that. Some of you need to come and kneel at the altar. Some of you need to come, listen, some of you need to give your lives to Jesus Christ, seeking his salvation and seeking his forgiveness. Some of you may need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Some of you may want more information as what God is doing here and how to be a part of what God is doing in our church. As we sing together, respond to the Spirit of God in faith and in trust. I'll be right here. If I can help you, if I can answer any question, or if I can pray for you, you come as we sing.